All righty, folks. We welcome you back to the show. Doing a little Jersey connection. We'll tie it all together and lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The NFL Draft Thursday. Our guest is a returning champ, repping the 201. He's the host of the NFL Prospects podcast on the Believe Network. He's a Rhode Island Ram, also hosts an FCS podcast. His Twitter handle is at Joe DeLeon. Joe D, welcome back to the show. How's life treating you these days?
It's been a pretty busy week so far, busy past couple weeks, but hey, this is why I'm here for it. I love the NFL draft. I'm so excited for things to go down on Thursday.
Yeah, me too. I just love this. I cannot get enough of it. So let's get to the important issue of the day. When you incorporate Jersey, it has more value. I was listening to your Believe in FCS football podcast last week, Sean Anderson, and the issue was addressed. It's a critical subject, Joe. Could we agree the use of pineapple as a pizza topping should be a federal crime?
I think that anyone from the New York, New Jersey area would agree that it is a crime to put pineapple on pizza. And some of our show listeners, it was a listener question that came in, but some of our listeners were pushing back a little bit. I'm glad that I have somebody in my corner that the pineapple does not belong with cheese. It does not belong on pizza.
I love it. All right, I guess we'll get to some players in the draft. Of interest here in Pac-12 country, of course, Oregon's Kayvon Thibodeau. At times last year, some thought he'd be the top pick. Then he was dropping. Now he's rising. I mean, I've seen him second to the Lions, and as a Giants fan, kind of fingers crossed. So what's been a lot of your discussion about the Duck, Thibodeau?
Yeah, it seems like, and we tend to have this happen with one guy at the top who there's always going to be that concern of does he really want it? And I think with the case of Kayvon Thibodeau, it's a bit arbitrary. It's overanalysis. And a lot of these teams, I think, are going to overanalyze Kayvon Thibodeau because he's so talented. An example that I pointed to when I recorded today with my co-host Ryan for the NFL Draft Prospects podcast, I pointed to how we did the same thing with Justin Herbert, and everyone's like, wow, he's an introvert and he's not going to be a leader. And we realize now after seeing him play that none of that even matters. And Kayvon Thibodeau, the concern with him is, oh, he's got off the field interests. Like how involved is he? Is he going to be 100% committed? I think that we need to pump the brakes on that. That attention to the game and love for the game does not show up on tape for me. He might slide a little bit. There's a possibility that he slides somewhere in the top 10. Maybe it's all the way to Atlanta is the latest he'll go. But I think with as many teams that are hungry for talented edge rushers, I don't think he's going to make it very far. As you mentioned, the Giants are a team that are going to be really interested in him. I think the Jets are certainly in play for him. The Seahawks will be in play. The Falcons will be in play. Any of those teams picking in the top 10 are going to be interested in Kayvon Thibodeau in getting his services.
So let's do a hypothetical. If Shahid Khan, the owner of the Jags, called and said, you know, Joe, I've been watching your draft coverage. I just fired Trent Baalke. We decided you're going to make our first pick. With the understanding they still like Trevor Lawrence, who would you think would come off the board first?
If I'm making that decision, I'm drafting Evan Neal. They need to protect Trevor Lawrence. That is priority number one. They already have edge rushers that they've drafted in the first round with Kalyvon Chaisson and Josh Allen. They've got edge figured out. They have strong edge rushers, and their defense has a young core. So why they wouldn't draft Evan Neal to me is so crazy, because they need to protect Trevor Lawrence. And I know that they were intent on bringing back Cam Robinson. Robinson's not that good. Robinson's okay. Move him to right tackle. You draft Evan Neal. You plug him in at left tackle, and he's going to be your starting left tackle for the next 10 years if you can keep him on contract. But because it's Trent Baalke who's making the decision, it's probably going to be Aiden Hutchinson or Trayvon Walker, which, again, I just don't see the value in that for a team that already has an established defensive line.
Talking NFL draft, Joe DeLeon, Believe Network. He hosts the NFL Prospects podcast. Staying in the Pac-12, I'm thinking the next player to go, a Husky, a Trojan, maybe Drake London, maybe a fit for the Chargers. But overall, your thoughts on his NFL fit and where he might land Thursday?
Yeah, I think Drake London's the most likely next Pac-12 player to be selected, as you said. London is a really interesting player in this group because a lot of these other receivers are the same size. They're like that 6'5", 11", Chris Olave, Jahan Dotson, Garrett Wilson, very similar builds. And then Drake London is this tall, long, really strong possession receiver, and a team that wants a Brandon Marshall-type receiver is going to make that pick. It seems like there is a lot of interest from the Falcons and the Jets to make that decision in selecting him. And both those teams make a lot of sense. The Jets have been brought up in the trade discussions for Deebo Samuel. They are desperate to get a big playmaker in their receiving room because right now they are very, very thin at that position and they want to help Zach Wilson. And the Falcons don't have Calvin Ridley because of the whole gambling nonsense that he's dealing with. And other than that, it's just Kyle Pitts. And they really need some help. So for me, Drake London, I think, doesn't make it out of the top 15. I think a lot of teams are going to be excited about him and his uniqueness at the top of this class.
Let's get to another Pac-12er who I think is a lock first rounder. He's Oregon's arch enemy, Washington. They've, you know, been cranking out DBs, Elijah Molden, Byron Murphy. Now Trent McDuffie, all Pac-12, 13 All-American. Some say maybe lacks a little length. So what's the read on the kid who is a really big-time recruit out of his Southern California high school?
Yeah, the length is certainly a concern because he's not the tallest. And when we're talking about the other guys that he's competing with to get selected where he likely will go, they're all taller and a lot longer than him. Andrew Booth, Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley, Kyer Elam, those guys are all over 6'6", 6'1", with super long arms, and they're all pretty good athletes. But Trent McDuffie, just because he's a little bit shorter, doesn't take away from the fact that he's a really, really good corner. He's a really, really good athlete, a track-type athlete, who put up really good numbers at the NFL Combine, and he's somebody who you could play in the slot as a nickel corner. He's also good enough to play on the outside. I think Trent McDuffie is a name to pay attention to for maybe like a team like the Ravens, if they're looking to add another corner because their current corner group is starting to age a little bit. You could also see maybe a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, if they miss out on some of the other corner prospects, pulling the trigger on Trent McDuffie. But I think McDuffie has pushed himself really nicely into that first-round conversation, being either the fourth or the fifth corner to be selected in this year's draft.
Talking draft, Joe DeLeon, Believe Network. He hosts the NFL Prospects Pod. I want to focus on a few teams and be selfish, talking Giants. I'm optimistic about the new regime, Joe Schoen, Brian Daboll. They go 5-7. G-Men going to go tackle to bookend with Andrew Thomas, maybe cover corner. What's the word? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think that the Giants, their priority is going to be drafting an offensive lineman. I would be very, very shocked with this new front office and head coaching tandem that's coming from Buffalo if they wouldn't draft an offensive lineman. That team in Buffalo was built with their offensive line, and there's going to be later picks invested in the offensive line, kind of like how Buffalo built their team with a lot of day two picks that turned into starters. But I think that they recognize that right now that's what's held this team back. They can't wait any longer. They have two picks around the same range. They don't trade out one of those picks. One of those picks does need to be spent on alignment. So is it going to be Ike Mukwunu from NC State? Is it going to be Charles Cross from Mississippi State? Does Evan Neal from Alabama end up making it all the way to 5? That would be a slam dunk pick for the Giants. Maybe they want to go with Kenyon Green, although he is sliding a little bit right now because of some potential medical issues. But you also could consider Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa. There's a lot of options. I think with one of the other picks, though, considering how talented this edge class is, I would be pretty shocked if they didn't leave the first round with an edge rusher. Or shocked is a little bit extreme, but I would be slightly perplexed if they didn't take one of these top edge rushers where they're picking. They're in a position where they could get Kayvon Thibodeau or Trayvon Walker, if he's still there. Jermaine Johnson from Florida State is a name to pay attention to. But based on how the top 10 stacks up and where the best players are, offensive line and edge, I think, makes the most sense for the Giants.
Well, since they beat the Pats in that last Super Bowl, they've been, a word you use, perplexing. So we'll see. Let's move closer to where I'm at, the Seahawks. Initially, no pick, then the trade with Russell Wilson. They're going to roll with the 10th pick. So they're going to roll the dice on a quarterback that early, bolster the old line if they believe in Drew Lock. What do you see out of Seattle?
Yeah, I'm not completely taking off the table them drafting Malik Willis. I think if Malik Willis is there and they don't get coaxed into trading back with the Steelers, that they might pull the trigger on him if they're really that fully invested and think that he's the long-term project that they want to build around. Offensive line, they might just miss out, but I think like a Trevor Penning or a Charles Cross is a name to pay attention to there. The one thing that we have to consider, and I hate to say this, and I'm sure Seahawks fans are going to groan when I say this, but every single year, the Seahawks just make the most head-scratching first-round pick. It's always the most random guy. It's a guy that most teams and most evaluators have graded as a second-round pick, and we're always like, really, that was the guy? Like, I always think of Rashad Penny as the most recent, like, oh, my God, there's no way that they just drafted him. So be prepared for someone totally random. Like if Kyle Hamilton falls that far, that to me would be the prototypical Seahawks pick of like, we didn't need a safety, but you still drafted one anyways. Or maybe some of these later on edge rushers like a Boye Mafe, who probably belongs later in the first round, but they might for whatever reason have a high evaluation on him. So don't be shocked if, like usual, we're really thrown off by whoever they select.
And lastly, you do the FCS podcast, and, you know, we've seen some big scores from that level. I mean, Trey Lance last year, I mean, Cooper Kupp's pretty good. You know, I'm hearing about the big offensive lineman from Northern Iowa. Some have compared North Dakota State's Christian Watson to Debo. Who are you liking to go quickly? I know you're wired into the FCS like few others.
Yeah, the first likely player, FCS player to go, is probably going to be Trevor Penning, because after we get through those top three tackles, it starts to really thin out. And I think whichever remaining team is hungry for an offensive lineman, which every year there are teams that really, really badly want offensive tackles, someone is going to pull the trigger on him pretty early on in the first round. He is so fantastic as an athlete. He's long. And he's got the demeanor that you want for a right tackle and can have a pretty early impact if you need him to step in early on. Christian Watson is a name to pay attention to. He has been mocked recently as a guy who could be drafted in the end of the first round, and I wouldn't completely take that off the table. Guys that do well at the combine tend to really push themselves into that conversation, and he's done phenomenally throughout this draft process. And then if I had to give like a last guy that's going to be drafted on day two that's going to be fun to pay attention to is Montana State's Troy Anderson, starting linebacker. He was previously a quarterback and a running back at Montana State, ends up moving over to linebacker, and it was just so dominant at the FCS level. Is a little green to the position and is going to grow into it, but I think a team that's looking for an athletic linebacker that has some growing to do, Troy Anderson's a name to pay attention to.
Go Bobcats. Folks, he's Joe DeLeon, host of the FCS Football and the NFL Prospects Podcast, the Believe Network. Follow all he's up to on Twitter. The handle's at Joe DeLeon. Joe, terrific info as always. I really appreciate you taking some time during a really busy week. It's always fun. Be well, and of course, look forward to catching up again down the road.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take it easy.